Hello, my name is Pastor Michael Eaton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly Eaton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael Eaton. That's Eaton. You may be listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries on the internet. We're going to pray that God will move in mighty and awesome ways. So now, let's get into the Word.
But tonight again, we're going to be talking about fasting and praying, and we're going to be looking at point number one, a father's prayer. Point number two, a form prayer. And point number three, a fasting prayer. A fasting prayer. We want Christians to know tonight that they should fast and pray out of devotion to God. They should fast and pray out of devotion to God, out of devotion to God. Point number one, a father's prayer. The text seems to show us that there are two people who pray. There are those who pray because they want to be seen. Those who pray because they want to be seen as spiritual, as holier than thou, and the way that they pray is that they pray with many words they pray. And the Lord had to, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had to talk and had to teach us really how to pray. And he had to set us straight on how to pray. He says that if you truly want to have a prayer meeting, you go to your own private place and you seek out the Lord. Verse 6 says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Amen. So prayer is meant to be an intimate thing, a personal devotion to the Lord. Now it's good for us to pray corporately, but if you're only praying corporately, that means you're praying twice a week when the Bible says that we should be praying without ceasing. Which means that you should, and you've heard me say this many, many times, you should have your own special place to pray. Amen. Where you go and you can pray to God undisturbed, because once again, if you get a mind to pray, oh, the devil's going to get busy and he's going to make sure that your prayer time is disrupted. And it's going to be disrupted by maybe some of those that you really love dearly. The children going to want to come and talk to you and sit up under you. The cell phone's going to ring. But when you want to really, really, really get serious with God and you want to pray, you have to realize that prayer is between you and your Father.
Yeah.
You and your Father. Say to your neighbor, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor. Prayer is between you and your Father. It's between you and your Father. Now, it's good that you have a prayer partner. I have a prayer partner, but we pray only once a week. Some of you may have prayer partners and you pray daily. It's good to be a part of a prayer meeting where people actually pray. It's good to come and ask for prayer on Sunday morning, but again, prayer is an intimate time. It's a time that you cannot allow anybody to be a part of, really, but you and your Father. You and your Father. An intimate time with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It says, when you have that intimate time with the Lord, it says, pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So, the blessings of life comes from what you do in secret. Somebody said that character is defined as you are who you are when your character is who you are when nobody else sees you. When nobody else sees you. What you do in secret is really who you are, your true character, when nobody else is looking, when nobody else is around. That's who you really are. And many times we can get away with looking holy and looking spiritual and looking, but the character is lacking because you don't have a secret time with the Lord. The blessings in life are lacking because you don't have that secret time that you spent alone with God. Alone with God. Because God says, when you spend some secret time with me, I will reward you. And I will reward you openly where everybody can see how blessed your life is. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Many people would like to spend some secret time with our president, President Obama. Wouldn't mind being called to the White House and going into a meeting just to sit with him. And you would think that that would be a great, great honor. But I tell you, it's probably not going to be much that he can do for you personally. Hello? but if you see God, the creator of the universe, the most powerful being of all time, if you saw him for who he really was, you would really want to spend some secret time alone with him. Again, we're talking about a prayer, a father's prayer. Amen? Amen. So the text, again, addressed the hypocrites that want to show themselves in public and pray with many words. But God says, when you pray, you need to go to a secret place. And in this secret place, you spend your alone time with God. And then he can reward you for your efforts. But he also teaches us the form of a prayer. And that's verses 9 through 15. And we did a whole lesson on this at the beginning of February, and I want to challenge you to go back and read or listen to that lesson. Can anybody tell me what was a part of that form prayer? He said, this then is how you pray. It's how you pray. Somebody read the rest of the text. How do you pray? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I shared with you that that begins the prayer, the beginning of that prayer is a prayer of praise, hallowing God's name. The form or the way that you pray, you want to approach God, you have to, first of all, you have to praise him first. Join in with the angels who are already praising his holy name, who already know who he is. Oh, part of that form prayer is to praise, hallowed be thy name, sanctified, holy, there's nobody like you. That's a part of that form of a prayer. What is the next part of that prayer? Somebody read it. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. Earth as it is in heaven. There we talk about, we won't go from praise to providence. Thy kingdom come. It's not about me. It's about you. My life, my prayer is not about, before I ask you anything, I praise you. And then I try to get on terms with your providential will for my life. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is the next part of that prayer? Amen. That's where we get provisions. We praise him first. We get in line with his providence. And then we say, Lord, now that I've set you where you are now, Lord, now that I've become on one accord with who you are now, I can pray for my own provisions. Because again, you are my Father. And guess what? God is not a deadbeat God. We have some deadbeat fathers who won't take care of their kids, but God is not a deadbeat God. So after we praise him, after we get in line with his divine providence in our lives, we say, God, provide for us. Provide for us. And that may be in daily needs, and this is a review because I went over this in February. Daily needs, or it may be some health needs. Oh, Lord, my body is sick. Oh, Lord, this is what the doctors had to say. Oh, Lord, what? Please provide for me healing for my body. Whatever your provisions that are needed. And what is the line after that?
Forgive us our debts, as we also have been given to you.
Pardon. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us of our sins, Lord.
Yeah.
Who thinks he has no sins is a liar. And we must confess our sins on a daily basis. Probably every time we pray.
That's right.
If this is the form prayer and how we pray, that means a perpetual confessing of our sins. Lord, pardon us because we're so sinful. Lord, pardon us because of what I thought. Lord, pardon me because of what I've done. Lord, pardon me because of what I said. Lord, pardon me. Lord, pardon me. Forgive us our sins as we forgive. And then we have to be, after we receive God's pardon, we have to go out and pardon others. Because somebody may have said something wrong to you today. Somebody may have talked to you crazy. Hello? We have to give God's pardon. You know, he gives us pardon. We go out and pardon other folk. The church should be a church of pardoners. Amen. What does the next line say in that form prayer? What does it say?
And lead us not into temptation.
Lead us not into temptation. Lord, protect me. Protect me, Lord. Because the devil has a plan for my life, but I prayed a little earlier, not my will, but thy will be done. But in order for me to be holy, I have to confess my sins, and I have to pray, Lord, please help me not to be led into sin. Please protect me from falling into the devil's trap. And every day, boy, that devil has something every day. He don't take a day off. They say don't take an hour off. He is something else.
That's right.
Talking about work ethic. This is a part of that form prayer as we pray unto the Lord. First of all, we realize it's a personal appointment with God. It's a father's prayer. And then he taught us how to pray in a form prayer. And then we come to what we're studying to about this night and this month. He talks about a fasting prayer. Fasting prayer. And this is what God is calling us to do, I believe, on March 14th, the 14 days of prayer. And we know that it's going to be a prayer, but we don't want to make a spectacle of ourselves. Like they did, once again, in this text, they wanted to be seen as being spiritual. But Jesus, again, in verse 16, says, when you fast, do not look sober as the hypocrites do, for they disguise their faces to show that they are fasting. Nobody should know during this time that we are fasting. You know, back in the day, back in those days, they would fasting is a humbling before the Lord. And many times in the Old Testament, when they would fast and pray, they would put dust over their faces, and it was a point, a time of a mourning. Many times when they began to fast and pray, and they were looked apart, you know, trying to get folks' sympathy. And Jesus said, "Now, when you fast, and I want you to go through all that showboating."
Right.
It's not about people seeing what you're doing. Again, he said earlier, I see what's going on in private, and I reward you. And I reward you. So he says, don't put on all that stuff. Don't put on a show. This is not about a show. He says, I tell you the truth, that they have received their reward in full. They get the sympathy of the people. They get sympathy. Maybe some empathy. The text goes on to say, but when you fast, pour oil on your head and wash your face. Again, they put dust all over themselves. So they said, to me, in modern day terms, probably he turns just because you're fasting, don't let your hair get kinky. Put your Mary grease on. Somebody said, put your afro sheen on. But Brian, and they said, put your mousse on. No. You say you're useless. You do? Okay. Keep the moose on now. Wash your face. You know, clean yourself up. Verse 18. So that it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting. This is not something that we want to be obvious to men about. This is going to be a private corporate time before us and the Lord, the church and the Lord. You don't need to be going around saying, yeah, child, I can't eat lunch today because I'm fasting. I'm hungry too. Now, this is private. Only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, once again, will reward you. Will reward you. Fasting is almost, for lack of a better term, is almost a gear that you probably didn't know that you have. And Jesus says to his disciples as they were trying to rebuke satanic forces, said, this one comes only out only by fasting and praying. There's some things that you may want, some desires that you have, some people that you want to get saved. Maybe somebody on your 10 most wanted. And God is saying by the Spirit of God, as we will be fasting and praying on the 14th, this person needs to be on your list. Amen. It may be an impossible task that you're facing. That needs to be on your list as you fast and pray. It may be an impossible relationship. You may be married and not one of you can get along. Your marriage should be on the list. So we're going to be learning more and more about fasting and praying. And as we learn these next 7 to 10 days, you've got to begin to develop your prayer list. And number one, of course, we want Bethlehem on there for revival. But there's some other things that you may be facing, once again, that needs to be a part of that list that we're going to be fasting and praying for. Other things, and let the Holy Spirit build your list. I know for me, I need to fast and pray. So I'm trying to write a book, and it's like I got writer's block. I just can't write nothing. Maybe this book comes by fasting and prayer. And we're going to believe that in 2010, that God is going to show us some new things. We get serious about fasting and praying. 14 days. I tell you, if you don't feel it by day two, you think missing one meal can't hurt. But again, we in the newsletter, I need you to read the article by Bill Bright, who talks about fasting and praying, and missing one meal a day, really, I don't think it's too big a sacrifice. But I am going to challenge some of us who may have been practicing fasting and praying, that maybe you missed two meals. Some may be, because we're not all on the same level.
No, we're not.
Some may, now again, you have to be wise. Some may need to miss all meals and do the water and juices. It's according to where you are. But allow God to speak to you and the Holy Spirit to build your list and allow Him to tell you what you need to do.
All right.
In this fast. And what you need to be praying for in this fast. And I'm believing that God, it's a cliche, but that God is going to show up and show out.
All right. Give me an amen.
14 days. And again, that we as a church will fast and pray. We don't need to tell nobody else. This is going to be done in secret to everybody else. And we're going to pray. We're going to praise Him. And pray for His will in our lives. That, just praying that form prayer alone is enough just to be fasting and praying about. Amen? And I need us to be on one accord with this. I need us to collectively do this. For Jesus, in verse 16, He didn't say, if you fast. Am I right about it? I'm making it up? Because some folk will say that fasting is going on out with the time, like Sister Eaton said in her article about fasting for a breakthrough, about how one woman who grew up in the church who thought it was, you know, it was a foregone discipline. But Jesus said, when you fast. Not if you fast. So if there's something here today, you're thinking, "Now I'm not going to do that." You need to tell the devil is a lie. Because this should be a part of our Christian life.
Amen.
When you fast, not if you fast. It's a foregone conclusion. If you're reading what Foster was saying, it was understood. It's like breathing. You know? We in our modern culture, he talked down against McDonald's. I was mad at him for that. and the pizza places. And we live in such a culture, society that, and boy. When we eat out, boy, they give us portions for three. And we sit there and eat it all. No, we ain't gonna take it all. We gonna eat it all. Some of your parents were like my parents. You gonna eat everything on that plate. And we come from that kind of culture. And we're talking about fasting. Well, it does. It does kind of sound a little old-fashioned. But if it was good enough for Jesus, guess what? You've heard me say many times, if Jesus Christ had to pray, how much more so should we pray? Now I can say, now if Jesus Christ had to fast and pray before he began his ministry, what did he do? Did he go out and party on the town and have a big meal? What did he do? Fasted and prayed for how long? 40 days. All we're asking is 14, okay? All I'm asking you to do is 14, not 40. Okay?
All right.
And we can do this. I believe we can do this.
Amen.
And I believe that God is going to work and move in such an awesome way. He's going to give us insight. He's going to heal some things in our lives, our bodies, relationships. Folk, we're going to get saved. Don't you know God's revival can build that church over there?
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. So we want to again encourage you to fast for devotion. This is a devotion. This is a part of your devotion to God.
Right.
Fasting. And you have 10 days to get your mind around it. 10 days to prepare yourself. And again, read the article by Bill Bright. It's very, very good article in the newsletter to help you to prepare. And I don't think and that I think everybody here should be able to participate, especially the one meal one day. Now, if you're doing two or three, if you're going without, some of you can't do that because of medication issues. You cannot fast from food with some of the medicines that you take. It'll eat. You know how it is. But if you are serious health, then again I say don't fast from food. But I just finished a 10-day fast from coffee. And I thought this was going to be easy, and I was feeling guilty. Lord, this ain't no real fast. But man, boy, I was craving that coffee like food, boy. I see it on TV, they pour that coffee. I'm like, whoa, boy. I said, Lord, this just like food. So, if it's not food, if you can't do food, you can do some type of liquid, or TV, like you said, TV. Ooh, yeah, something, yeah. Computers, you know. So again, you let the Spirit of God, and then that's what I prayed, and I was like, Lord, I want to do this fast, prepare me for the fast. I said, what is it that you want me to do? And then Spirit kind of laid on coffee. I was like, oh, that ain't gonna be no problem.
Yeah.
Boy, I said, boy, I'm craving. And every time I craved, I had to pray, Lord. I didn't know how much this coffee had me in a headlock. But because I ground my coffee, you know. I'm a coffee snob, you know. Starbucks ain't got nothing on the kind of coffee I drink. So, but allow the Spirit knows what would challenge you. Let him bring it to mind in these next 10 days again. Prepare what you're going to fast from. Hopefully everybody can do that one meal a day, 1 hour of prayer. And also allow the Spirit to build your list of what you're going to be praying about as well. And I believe that God is going to do an awesome and mighty work in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Shall we pray?
Yes.
Father God, we thank you, Father. And we praise your holy name, Father. And Lord, we thank you for the words of Jesus who said, when you pray, Father, fast. Not if you fast, Lord. Which challenged us, Father. I know it challenged me because I don't like to fast. So, Father, this could be the very discipline that is stopping us, Lord, from being everything that you want us to be, Father.
Amen.
That will enable us to grow even more, Father. Lord, we're, We're fasting and praying these 14 days, Lord, but really we're fasting and praying for the life of this church, Father.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
For revival in this church. Lord, we're fasting for the future, Lord. For the next generation. That we do what we do right now, Father, to make sure that this church is here 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years from now, because we decided to get serious about the things of God. So we decided, Lord, to begin to fast. We decided to begin to meditate on your word. We decided to pray. We decided to spend this year with you, Father, developing all of these different disciplines that can enable us to be greater men and women of God in the faith, in Jesus' name. So, Father, we come asking you, Lord, to prepare our minds for what you would have us to do during this fast. We pray, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that most of us will agree to fast and pray for 14 days, one meal a day, pray 1 hour for a revival. For those that have health concerns and may not be able to do that, then we pray, Lord, that you will show them another way to be involved in this fast. Father God, also we pray that even by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will enable us to get our prayer list together as we began to fast and pray. Enable us to think about what you want us to pray about. It may be a name. It may be a marriage. It may be a goal. It may be a dream. It may be a ministry, Father. So, Lord, help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to put our lists together so that we can be prepared to go and to fast and pray for 14 days. So, Father God, we come right now just asking you to prepare our hearts, our minds, our bodies. Prepare our wills. In Jesus' name. Because, Lord, this one is not our will for most of us. But it's thy will be done, Jesus said, when you pray, a fast. When you fast. Father, help us to develop this discipline that can help carry us through the rest of our lives, Lord. That this might be a practice that we do. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you, and we pray right now, Lord, for those that are at the sound of my voice, Father, who made it here tonight, Father, and who are concerned about the worries of the world, Father. Concerned about bills, Lord. Concerned about parents. Concerned about children. Concerned, Lord, about making a living, Father. Concerned about travel. Concerned, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you will enable them now to be anxious for nothing, but to pray. Some of those concerns, Lord, in 10 days need to go on this fasting and prayer list, Father. But Father, we pray for them tonight, Lord. Be Jehovah Jireh, be Jehovah Rapha, be the God of I am that I am, that you might provide for our every need. We thank you, Father. And we praise your holy name. We glory in you, Father.
Hello again. This is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, We just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. Thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died, God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family. Because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This is Pastor Tom, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-arts build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more, whatever God is laying on your heart. We need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com.